reconvening the committee on, I'll hit the gavel one more time for the record. And with that, I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2322. Representative Barnhart. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. My name is Phil Barnhart, State Representative, House District 11, Central Lane and Linn Counties, and I appreciate the committee's indulgence this morning. I was just chairing the Revenue Committee, and we're not quite finished with our business this morning. This 2322 is a bill which is intended to change the allotment, the word wrong, aren't I? The process by which the governor has the authority to reduce the budget based on revenue shortfalls, and I know I'm missing the word. What is the word?
It is allotment.
It is allotment. I tend to use several different words and I get them wrong, but I want to make sure I'm using the correct word. Currently, the governor's authority, it used to be that the governor had authority to make variable changes in different departments based on need. That law was changed a number of years ago now to restrict his capacity to do that to a direct a flat across-the-board cut in the executive departments. One of the executive departments is the Department of Revenue. The Department of Revenue is a unique department because the Department of Revenue is charged with receiving the revenues of the state of Oregon and essentially to administering the tax law. When you cut the budget of the Department of Revenue during an allotment process, you also reduce your capacity to enforce the tax laws and to therefore receive funds that are necessary in order to fund the other departments of the state. You may end up actually increasing your problem when you're in when you do an allotment reduction. We saw exactly that happen in the past year when the department was considering reducing its staff away from the city of Salem in other parts of the state, which the staff which handles a large portion of the enforcement and compliance laws of the state in the taxation area. The emergency board and the legislature in the process of the reconciliation of this budget for the current biennium has been able to prevent the cuts that allotment would require. It does make sense because this department is unique to apply the allotment rule in a different way than the allotment rule is applied to other departments, because cutting this department doesn't save money. Cutting this department costs money. When you reduce the budget of this department, you actually receive fewer tax dollars. And there are no functions of this department which don't other than the absolute administration at the top end that isn't directly involved in managing in some form the tax system but are indirectly involved. With that one exception, there are no legs of the department that don't collect more money than they cost to operate, and most of them a lot more money than they cost to operate. So it makes sense to exempt this department from the allotment process, not because we're playing favorites for revenue for the Department of Revenue, but because we're trying to make sure that as much as possible the state's revenue is collected even in bad times, and we increase the likelihood of our being able to maintain tax compliance and receive the dollars that should be coming in so that we can actually fund the rest of the state. And I apologize for not being more concise, but I think the committee gets the point.
Yeah, thank you. I think you were concise enough that I think it's a fairly simple concept. Questions from the committee? Not seeing any questions either, Representative Barnhart. You must have done a very thorough job.
Just one additional quick comment. This is not a partisan issue. The Ways and Means people who looked at this issue last year were Republicans and Democrats, both people with a lot of experience in state government. They all agreed with this general concept.
Thank you. Questions, Representative Klim?
I was going to ask somebody else, but you might know. Does the governor's office have a position on this?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Somebody else.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Smith.
Any questions you would like to be asked?
I came to present the concept. I think you're going to hear from the department, and they may have some...
Oh, we're good. We have more testimony.
Some other specific things
fine.
To say.
That's fine.
I think that the allotment process was designed partly to maintain the authority of the legislature in writing the budget.
Yeah.
I don't think this changes that at all.
Yeah.
What it does do is recognize that this department is different from every other department because of its function.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I see that no one else has signed up to testify, nor the governor's office, so I would assume there is someone coming forward.
Good morning.
Good morning. If you'd identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Chair Holdy. Chair Wisnett, Deborah Buchanan with the Department of Revenue. And I am here to answer questions to the best of my ability. And those I can't answer, I will get an answer for you. If there are any.
So are you speaking in favor of the bill, or have you got direction from the governor's office of whether they support this bill or not?
Chair Holby, I did ask that question and was directed to come to this committee and provide information to you. I don't know that the governor's office has expressed either support or opposition to the proposal.
Thank you. Any questions? Not seeing any questions. Did you wish to provide any testimony?
Chair Holby, I'm Ken Ross. I'm with the Department of Revenue, and I was also here just to answer questions.
Thank you. Seeing no questions of you, I think the concept's been laid out pretty simply for us. So appreciate you coming by and making yourselves available.
Thank you.
So with that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2322.
I think I'd like to have an input from the governor. Let's just take if he doesn't.
We'll stand at ease for a moment, please.
If he doesn't.
Hang on a second. I'd like to reconvene the House Committee on Consumer Protection and open a public hearing on House Bill 2218. Jan, would you give us a little description of House Bill 2218, please?
Chair Holding, Chair Wisnett, and committee members, House Bill 2218 requires a state agency that borrows money to fund a capital construction project to set aside X percent of the net proceeds of the bonds issued in a separate account if the bond authorization allows for the financing of repairs and maintenance of the project. It directs the agency to use interest earned on the money in the separate account to be used to finance the repairs and maintenance of the project. It applies to capital construction bonds issued on or after the effective date.
And up first we have Andrew Ainsworth. Chair Holby.
Welcome, Mr. Ainsworth. If you'd identify yourself for the record, and welcome back to this committee.
Yeah, well, thank you. Chair Holby, members of the committee, my name is Andrew Ainsworth, and I'm here on behalf of Representative Buckley. I apologize that he's not able to be here this morning. Before you, you have House Bill 2218, and Representative Buckley's intent in introducing this bill is quite simple. The logistics in actually achieving that intent are not as simple. But Representative Buckley's hope is to eliminate deferred maintenance, to make deferred maintenance a thing of the past. And House Bill 2218 would accomplish this, as the committee administrator stated, by allowing state agencies to set aside a certain percentage of state bonds for capital construction projects to be used for the future maintenance of those projects. It's much more cost-effective, as I think we all realize, to address maintenance as it comes up rather than to defer it later down the road. I believe there's a 2007 study commissioned for the university system that said a dollar of routine maintenance, I believe, ends up saving you $2 or $3 in maintenance down the road. Now, I believe there are some concerns from the State Treasurer's Office about the actual mechanism for preventing maintenance from building up in the future, and we're willing to work with them, if the committee's interested in this concept, to try to address those concerns. I'm not sure if anybody's actually here at the hearing today to make those concerns known, but just wanted to let you know that. With that, I mean, I'm willing to answer any questions you may have about the bill. It's pretty straightforward. So.
Questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair, we're going to hear from DAS. Is DAS signed up? Yes.
Co-chair, wasn't it? DAS is here to answer any questions, but they don't plan to testify.
Mr. Chair, I would recommend that Andrew stay there with DAS, and we could ask both, maybe, because DAS is where I think we're going to
Robin Harpster. Good morning. So I will ask one question, Andrew. Has the Treasurer's Office given you any indication what their concerns with this bill are?
Yes, Co-Chair Holvey. Their main concern is that the state would not be able to issue the maintenance portion of the bond as a tax-free bond because of federal law. That's my understanding in a nutshell.
Thank you. And good morning. If you'd identify yourself
good
for
morning,
the record.
Representative Holvey. For the record, Robin Harpster, I'm the Administrator of Facilities for DAS. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Certainly, I'd just like you to expand on my, or maybe on the answer that Andrew just gave about the concerns from the Treasurer's Office and whether DAS has any specific concerns with this bill as well.
Chair Holvey, to answer your question, I can't speak specifically to the limitations of the financing component. I know there are some concerns with the limitations as it relates to the taxing component. As you know, with House Bill 2063, we've already brought before this body a process whereby we can deal with deferred maintenance. The issue of the mechanism, the funding mechanism, is still out there to be considered. In concept, we believe this bill is a good bill. It's in alignment with what we've brought before you with House Bill 2063, and we'd be happy to work with Representative Buckley on this legislation to make it in alignment with something that we can achieve collectively with deferred maintenance.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Conger.
I'm struggling a little bit to understand the rationale for borrowing money to fund future maintenance. By doing so, we would be incurring the cost of borrowing the money. And in addition, just conceptually, it seems to me that maintenance is an operational expense, not a capital expense, and that borrowing is appropriate more in the context of capital assets than it is in the context of funding operating expenses. So I'm leaning certainly towards thinking this is not such a good idea, but argue against me there.
Chair Holvey, Representative Conger, my response to that question would be that routine maintenance as it comes up ends up extending the life of the capital investment that the state made, and so I believe, and I think Representative Buckley would believe it is appropriate, that if we are borrowing money at a cost to the state for the construction of a capital project, that we have a plan to maintain that in as proper shape as possible and to extend the life of that so that that expense we incurred does not become a waste down the road. And as I'm sure you may be aware, it may seem as though it's an operational cost, but as state agencies struggle to secure funding biennium after biennium, they put off this routine maintenance to the point where it becomes critical, and then the state, once again, is at times forced to borrow to fund the maintenance down the road. And at that point, it's a higher cost for the maintenance than it would have been had it been incurred in a routine basis.
May I follow up?
Follow up.
So I agree with everything you said, except that you should that the conclusion, which is that it would be a good idea to borrow the money. It is a capital asset. You're absolutely right. It would be a great idea to have a plan to maintain it. Mm-hmm. You're right that by deferring maintenance, you waste the asset and incur greater costs down the road. Mm-hmm. And I understand that agencies often try to stretch the dollar in the operational budget by deferring maintenance, but it seems to me the solution is to insist that agencies have a good plan of maintenance as a part of their operational budget. So, not a question, just a comment.
Mm-hmm. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, and I think germane to Representative Cogger's question is similar to, or at least overlaps with the conversation we had in your office, and I think what would be helpful, speaking for myself, would be some math, even in the even if it's anecdotal, to sort of say, you know, the question is, how much does the stitch in time save nine, or, you know, how many does the stitch in time save, and is it, and is that, you know, hopefully nine, include, you know, still valuable considering the cost of the money, considering the interest payments, or not, you know, so I guess I'd have some, you know, questions about that, about the ROI on this whole deal.
Co-chairs, Representative Smith, in response to the same question you asked regarding House Bill 2063, we did submit a response to you, which we hope answered your question. If not, I'd be happy to give you more anecdotal.
But it might be helpful. But it might be helpful in this. It might be helpful in this context to share, you know, to share some of that information, to say, like, you know, because it's a really great bang for our buck. I mean, maybe there's another way to finance it just through operations, but maybe it's still a good deal whether we're financing it through through loan or financing it through operational dollars.
Co-chairs, Representative Smith, I'd be happy to run scenarios of doing financing versus general operating dollars, creating a funding mechanism through operating dollars itself to deal with deferred maintenance and show you the scenarios over time.
So the and along those lines, you know, that information would be helpful for the committee. But Representative Cameron brought up an issue earlier when we were hearing testimony on the other bill about a rent model that recovers, you know, monies for deferred maintenance and for maintenance in general. And does not our DAS's or the state's rent model include those sorts of monies? And if it does, why are they not adequate to perform the deferred maintenance?
Sure. Chair Holby, DAS actually does have a rent model, and we're one of the unique agencies in state government that has that recuperation built into our business. Unfortunately, that doesn't occur throughout all of state government. You have organizations like the Department of Corrections, for instance, who's predominantly general funded, and they do not, actually entirely general funded, and as a result, they do not have a rent model built within their program to deal with ongoing deferred maintenance in their organization. So they're allocated dollars for maintenance, they have to come in and make special requests for maintenance that has gone past its useful life, in essence deferred maintenance. So in our case, we've had the luxury of other funds as a source of our funding mechanism for rents that we've been able to recuperate, and so our deferred maintenance is much smaller in relationship to other state agencies. But over the past two biennia, as our rent model has the authorization for funding for our rent in relationship to the actual costs to do business have not been in alignment, and so our deferred maintenance has started to incur at DAS.
So how
What's your impediment to keeping up that model so that it does address your deferred maintenance into the future?
I'm Representative Holby. My impediment is the realities of our fiscal climate. I present at any board every biennium our funding request for our uniform rent, and in this particular case, this biennium, I was directed to fund it at a level lower than what the costs were to do my business, with plans on how we would bring forth before Ways and Means business model changes that would effectively reduce uniform rent overall. Great concept, and I'm looking at those ways of streamlining my business, but the reality is there are costs to do business, and unfortunately the fiscal climate that we exist in today is not in alignment with that.
Good enough. Representative Sheehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has any other state done anything like this?
Treasurer Holby, Representative Sheehan, thank you for the question. Actually, there are a number of states that have set up systems for funding maintenance, have the foresight to fund maintenance, and they have different models. Utah, for example, before the legislature is allowed to fund any capital construction project, must allocate 1.1% of the replacement of all existing state buildings to a separate account for maintenance purposes. And in times of economic hardship, that is reduced down to 0.9%, I believe. So that's one model. Other states, there's an East Coast state, I believe it might be Virginia, it's somewhere around there. They take non-dedicated interest that is earned by certain state accounts and place that into a separate account for maintenance purposes. Of course, right now, because of the economic situation, those accounts aren't earning as much interest, so they're having trouble funding the maintenance costs of their buildings.
It seems like, Chair, follow up. This seems like such a bizarre mechanism to do something that the private industry has very established best practices for. We talked about reserve accounts the last time you were in here, and Representative Conger is 100% right that this is an operational expense that just needs to be budgeted for and saved for, just like you pay for insurance or anything else. I think this is a very strange way to accomplish something that the private industry does really well, and we can model after good models in the private industry. So, sorry, that wasn't a question.
Certainly, if we had the money, that could probably do that modeling.
We have the money.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is anyone here from Treasury? Well, Mr. Answorth, you told us that Treasury says they cannot do this. Would you please tell me what kind of bonding we used or what kind of financing we used for President Courtney's stimulus bill last session for almost $180 million to do deferred maintenance?
Co-Chair Wisnett, no, I cannot. That's President Courtney's bill, so I don't know the details of that.
Do you know that,
Co-Chair Wisnett, from what I understand, lottery bonds were a source of some of those. Other types of bonds, they were very specific to being allowed to use for maintenance purposes. DAS received about $2.7 million worth of funding through Go Oregon, and there were very specific types of projects that we could do that were not maintenance specific. For instance, there was some carpet replacement in certain rooms that unfortunately was designated as maintenance and had to be come off the list because they could not be funded with that type of financing. And so Jack Kenny from Budget and Management, I'm sure, has a lot more detail I could provide you, Representative, that could talk about the specific types of bonding that Go Oregon used.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I think this is something we all agree that we need to address, and I'm not sure how we address it. I know that this body, the legislature, last session, we tell homeowners associations, 2 out of 3 homes in America are in homeowners association. And the ones in Oregon, we've told them they have to set aside capital maintenance and replacement fund. And we do that by law, but we can't require it of the state. So I'm not sure how we get there, but I hope we can find some way to. And I think that Representative Buckley bringing forth this idea, I appreciate it, because every year, and we have the problem, and it doesn't get done by the department. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Other questions? Seeing none, I appreciate shedding some more light on deferred maintenance for us. With that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2218. And any other business before the committee? Seeing none, I will close the House Committee on General Government and Consumer Protection.
Good job.